This is Fresh Air. Yesterday, Surgeon General Joycelyn Elders created quite a stir when she suggested the government should investigate whether legalizing drugs could reduce violent crime. What isn't controversial is the fact that drugs are killing Americans and are at the heart of our crime problem. Why are drugs addictive? A few days ago, I spoke with Dr. Avram Goldstein, author of the new book Addiction, From Biology to Drug Policy. Goldstein is a pharmacologist, neurobiologist, and physician. He's conducted important clinical research and in 1969 organized the first major methadone clinic in California. He's a professor emeritus of pharmacology at Stanford University. He writes that we make artificial distinctions between legal and illegal addictive drugs.
Primarily when you look at addiction as a general problem and as a disease, I hope we get to talk about that, that there's absolutely no difference between the drugs that happen to be legal in our society and the drugs that have heavy restrictions on them. So these artificial distinctions come from a long history of trying to make it seem that nicotine and alcohol are really not drugs. And in fact, you often hear people say alcohol and drugs, or smoking and drugs. That's nonsense from the standpoint of a physician and scientist looking at the problem.
Let's start with some basic science, if we could, and I'll ask you to keep this as simple as possible because science is a little hard to follow on the radio, but could you give us a very basic explanation about why opiates give pleasure to the person who's using them?
Yeah, I'll try to do that, but it's not just opiates. What I have to say applies again to all seven families of addictive drugs. Inside of our brains, there is a special system of nerve cells, a special pathway, which we call the reward pathway. We know how it works. We know what brain chemicals are involved in it. And stimulation of that pathway produces pleasure. It does so in animals. It does so in people. And that's the central point about all the addictive drugs. Excessive stimulation of that pathway, which of course has a normal role also, excessive stimulation of that pathway is harmful.
So addictive drugs artificially stimulate these pleasure pathways.
Exactly. Artificially is the key. Those pathways are there for a purpose, of course. They've been developed over the whole course of evolution, over millions of years. And the purpose of them is to see that animals and now people do the right things. So it's the same pathway that says I'm hungry and is satisfied when I eat. It says I'm thirsty and satisfied when I drink. It's the same pathway that mediates sexual pleasure because sex is important to the survival of the species. It's the overstimulation artificially. I call it in my book the short-circuiting of that normal pathway that gets into real trouble.
There is a theory that some people who become addicted to drugs are medicating themselves for deficiencies. For instance, you say some heroin addicts say that the first time they shot up heroin, they felt right for the very first time. What can you elaborate on that theory that some people might be using addictive drugs to compensate for certain chemical deficiencies in their system?
Well, I think the thing that drives that conclusion more than anything else is the experience with the methadone maintenance of heroin addicts. Now, methadone is a drug very much like heroin. It's an opiate drug. It acts in the same place. It has a big difference from heroin in that it has a long duration of action, and so a person can have a stable level of methadone for a long time. Now, methadone treatment of heroin addiction has been in use now for about 25 years. So there's a lot of experience with it. The experience shows that the people who do best, the heroin addicts who do best on methadone, are the people who stay on methadone who don't try to get off methadone. And those people are not getting high on methadone. Somehow it is stabilizing their emotional state, stabilizing their feeling of normality and satisfaction, and they're able to function, and they're able to hold jobs, and they're able to do education, and so on. That's pretty impressive evidence, and it suggests that those people may have some kind of deficiency in their normal opiate system, which we call the endorphin system in the brain. Now, this deficiency has never been demonstrated. Of course, you can't go into human brains easily to find out if that's true or not. If it could be shown that it's true, it would make a very big difference in the way society looks at the problem of heroin addiction. But it is a theory that merits a lot more research, and a lot of work is being done to try to see if it's true or not.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Avram Goldstein, and he's a professor emeritus of pharmacology at Stanford University. He also created California's first methadone clinic. We're going to take a short break and then talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Dr. Avram Goldstein is my guest. He's professor emeritus of pharmacology at Stanford University and author of the new book, Addiction, From Biology to Drug Policy. Let's talk a little bit about the medical and legal implications of the latest research into addictive drugs. Why don't we start with medical implications? Based on all the research you've done over the years about addictive drugs, do you think that we should be emphasizing a more medical approach to drug addiction than we are now?
The answer to that is very simple. I think that addiction is a disease. It's a disease the cause of which we don't fully understand, and there are many diseases like that. To me, that means that it should be treated as a disease. That means it's a public health problem. It's not primarily a problem that should be dealt with by the criminal law. That means a shift in our emphasis toward the problem. In the case of alcohol addiction, that shift really has taken place over the last 25 years or so. Now people generally accept that alcoholism is a disease, and that affects the way one thinks about it and the way one deals with it. That change hasn't yet taken place with respect to certain of the other addictive drugs, particularly cocaine and heroin. So I think that is an important shift in public perception with implications for public policy.
So in your ideal world, if you were planning it, if somebody was using and they were discovered by a law enforcement officer, do you think that person should be arrested or be put into some compulsory treatment center? Or is there another alternative you'd recommend?
Well, that's difficult to answer because that depends, again, on the particular drug. I think that the policies have to be fashioned specifically for each of the addictive drugs because the problems they present are entirely different. But in general, I think that it's important that treatment be universally available. Anyone who recognizes their problem or their family recognizes the problem should be able to get that person into treatment with no red tape, with no impediments, no barriers. And when they fall out of treatment, that is, they fall by the wayside, which is what happens very frequently, they should be admitted to treatment again and again and again. This is a relapsing kind of disease. And it's very strange that other relapsing diseases that we in the medical profession deal with, let's say rheumatoid arthritis, when a person relapses, gets worse despite your best efforts, you don't kick them out of treatment. You intensify your efforts to find the best way of treating them, and you expect relapses to occur. Well, addictions are like that. Relapses occur. Eventually, many people are able to give the whole thing up and lead a normal life. Many people have difficulty ever getting to that stage. You only have to look at the people you know who are nicotine addicts to see what I'm talking about. A third of the people who ever smoked have quit smoking, so people can give it up. On the other hand, there's a hardcore. They know all about it. They know it's harmful. Everybody is badgering them to quit smoking. They know it's going to kill them. They can't stop smoking. Nothing more pathetic than a person in a hospital bed after having a lung removed because of lung cancer, and they wanted their pack of cigarettes. So you have to be sympathetic to that. This is a behavioral disorder, a behavioral disease, and needs to be treated that way.
Do you think that any of the addictive drugs that are now illegal should either be legalized or have their use decriminalized?
Let me say, first of all, that the term legalized has to be defined. What are we talking about? Very few, if any, people would want to make all addictive drugs available in the local supermarket for all people of all ages to buy. Very few people would do that. And if you don't do that, then you're going to regulate every one of those drugs in some way, and there's going to be greater and lesser degrees of regulation. That's what has to be discussed. Is the level of regulation correct for each of the drugs? For example, one way to regulate access to drugs and to affect the use pattern is to adjust the cost of drugs through taxation. So if you put a heavy cigarette tax on, for example, that's a way of reducing the nicotine addiction problem. It's a regulatory procedure. If you, to some extent, decriminalized marijuana use, because marijuana is probably the least harmful of the addictive drugs, or one might say next to caffeine, probably the least harmful, although we don't have all the evidence in. Well, if one wanted to do some kind of decriminalization of that particular drug, there are a number of ways that it could be done. So the general issue of legalization, in quotation marks, I don't buy that way of approaching the problem. Question is, what degree of regulation do we want for each of these drugs that will optimize? That is to say, that will reduce the use of the drug as much as possible, but not to the extent of criminalizing the user. And there's some optimal level. It's a compromise. It won't be perfect, but some level for each of those drugs. I personally don't think that cocaine or heroin should in any way be legalized. I think that they are both dangerous drugs and that the present prohibition has in fact been responsible for keeping down the usage to the point where it is a relatively minor problem compared with addiction to nicotine and to alcohol.
You opened the first methadone clinic in California. A lot of people say that methadone is an almost foolish way of treating heroin addiction because at best you're substituting one addiction, heroin, for another, methadone. Do you think that that's a legitimate criticism? And if you could give us a kind of brief summary of what your experiences with methadone as a treatment for heroin have been.
Well, I think the way you deal with that question is to ask, what outcome are you interested in? If you're interested in the rehabilitation of the addicts in their normal function, in their feeling normal in every way, then you can accomplish that by long-term maintenance on methadone. Now, nobody says that when you give insulin to a diabetic, you're doing something terrible because they have to be on insulin the rest of their lives and you're just substituting one bad thing for another. You don't hear that. But we hear it about methadone. And to me, it just makes no sense. You look at the outcome, and it's been clearly established that people on methadone, provided they're getting an adequate dosage of methadone, provided they're getting adequate additional services in a well-run clinic, those people do very well functionally. They function as productive citizens, and that's what we're looking for.
Dr. Goldstein, if you could change one popular misconception about addictive drugs, what would it be?
It's a good question. I guess that the most important one that I would try to change would be the notion that alcohol and nicotine are in some way different from all the rest. That's a major social problem that we have, that mythology about those two drugs.
That they're not as harmful, do you mean?
Fact is they're more harmful, but the popular conception that there's something different about them. They're not as bad somehow as the illicit addictive drugs. They're worse.
Dr. Avram Goldstein is the author of the new book Addiction, From Biology to Drug Policy. He's a professor emeritus at Stanford University. This is Fresh Air.